Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Cedar Creek Community Church. It's good to see you guys here this evening. I'm Justin. I'm one of the pastors here at Cedar Creek. And I have to say it's wonderful to have a full band. Thank you guys for putting that together for us. Yeah. So today we are gathering to celebrate Good Friday. A reminder to all of us as Christians and a remembrance of what Jesus accomplished on the cross when he shed his blood for us. So we're going to just start off by diving right into the scriptures. If you have your Bibles with you, I'd encourage you to open them up to Revelation chapter 20. If you have a Bible app on your phone, that'll work as well. But we're going to start off reading Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through 15. Then I saw a great white throne and him who was seated on it. From his presence, earth and sky fled away, and no place was found for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. Then another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged by what was written in the books, according to what they had done. And the sea gave up the dead who were in it. Death and Hades gave up the dead who were in them, and they were judged, each one of them, according to what they had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. So it's in this passage in Revelation, right at the end of the scriptures, we find a great white throne. And that great white throne is beautiful. The scene we see is majestic, it's glorious, and it's terrible. On it, on that throne, will be seated Jesus Christ. And all who have ever lived from the beginning of time to the very end will be standing before that great throne. And all that they have ever done, everything they have said, everything they have thought, will be laid out before him. All will be judged. And in that last verse it says, and anyone's name not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. That truth is heavy. That reality on Good Friday is sobering. This statement from God's word is one I think that we need to be regularly reminded of. Anyone's name not found written in that book of life will be cast into the lake of fire. The book of life. So how do we get our names into that book of life? Many religions, many philosophies, many ways of thinking will try to answer this question in a whole bunch of different ways, but they all boil down to something very simple, by what you and I must do. We live a good life. We make sure that our good outweighs our bad. We purify ourselves by good works, by donating to charities, doing nice things, helping other people, loving our neighbor, being kind to the person you see at the grocery store or on the street. Or maybe we make sure that everything we've done really wasn't that heinous or wasn't that atrocious. Perhaps if we don't do anything too bad, we'll get into heaven. Or maybe we find we're graded on a curve. And if we can just get far enough along the curve, we've beat most and we can appease God. Maybe we think we need to make some sort of right sacrifice, something we must do that will make God happy with us. But in all of those things, we're placing on our shoulders the hope of salvation and what we can accomplish here on earth. It's on you and it's on me to be good enough. But no matter how much you and I do, no matter how nice we are to the people we see on the street or at the grocery store, no matter how hard we try to love people well, face to face or on the internet, it doesn't ever feel like enough, does it? We always come back to that feeling that we just haven't quite made it yet. We haven't quite got there. We still have to work harder. We still have to love deeper. We need to be nicer, and then maybe we'll feel right before God. Maybe that hole in our heart will be filled. Maybe then he'll accept us. Maybe then we'll earn a spot in that book of life, and we'll escape that lake of fire. Maybe then we'll be forgiven. Maybe then, everything we've ever done wrong will be erased. Maybe then, I'll have made it. The scriptures teach something entirely different for fixing the problem of sin. If we turn to Hebrews chapter 9 and read verse 22, we find it says, "Indeed, under the law, almost everything is purified with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins." To be purified, blood must be shed. To be forgiven, blood must be shed. To avert God's wrath, blood must be shed. Purification, forgiveness, feeling right before the Creator God doesn't come through works. It doesn't come through good deeds. It doesn't come from being nice or loving our neighbor. It's not through religious acts of serving the church. It's not through reading your Bible enough or praying hard enough or doing righteous deeds that come before you. We are made pure and we are forgiven and our consciences are made clean by the shedding of blood. Blood must be shed to cover our sins. Now, this concept goes back to the very beginning of creation. If we were to crack our Bibles back to Genesis chapter 2 and chapter 3, we would find in the garden Adam and Eve were placed. And they were given one command, not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And Eve being tempted by the serpent, Adam being present with her, they took of that fruit and they ate. And they rebelled against the Creator God by doing this. And from that, all of the world was plunged into sin. And then Adam and Eve, in response to this and realizing they were naked, they hid themselves from God. They hid from him. They realized that as soon as he saw them, he would know that they had rebelled, that they had taken the fruit. And when God did walk through that garden, and they were confronted with their sin, and he brought it up to them, calling out Adam, they began to blame shift. Adam blamed Eve. Eve blamed the serpent. And God cursed mankind because of our sin. Now, if we would look at that story further, we find, what did God do after he pronounced the curse? He covered Adam and Eve with animal skins. He covered their nakedness. Animals died to provide the covering for their sins. Blood was shed to cover the sins of our ancestors, because without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. And so we find from the very dawn of creation, blood was spilt to cover our sins. If we move ahead in Genesis, Abraham inaugurated the covenant in Genesis chapter 15 by splitting animals in two, by shedding blood. The tabernacle was brought into service by the blood of goats and bulls being sprinkled on the various items. The temple was consecrated with the blood of sacrifices. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. Throughout the Old Testament, sacrifices were made over and over and over to try to make us right with God. Now, today, we don't offer sacrifices of animals. In modernity, we do different things. We use good works. We use love. We be nice. We be kind. We love our neighbor. We post fun and uplifting things on the internet, and we attempt to do all this to maybe be made right with God by living moral and upright and good lives. But we know if we look in our hearts that it doesn't make us right with him. We are still plagued with guilty consciences. We're still worried that what we've done isn't quite good enough to get our names in the book of life. Because without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins, and that is true still today. Whether we offer sacrifices of good works and kindness and love, or we spill the blood of animals, neither of those forgive our sins. Neither sacrifice is good enough. If we turn to Hebrews chapter 10, we see that truth laid out for us. In verses 1 through 4, it says, "For since the law has but a shadow of the good things to come, instead of the true form of these realities, it can never, by the same sacrifices that are continually offered every year, make perfect those who draw near. Otherwise, they would not have ceased to be offered, since the worshipers, having once been cleansed, would no longer have any consciousness of sins. But in these sacrifices, there is a reminder of sins every year, for it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins." Our gifts, our sacrifices, our good deeds, our obedience, anything else that we try to fill that hole with, anything else that we try to cover our sins with, won't purify our consciences, won't make us right with God. The blood of goats and bulls won't do it, and what we do on this earth won't do it, no matter how hard we try. And that's because ungodliness, unrighteousness, and our sin separate us from our Creator God. We cannot get rid of the sin ourselves, and no amount of any of those things can do it. The problem is you and I have sin. We have wickedness. We have unrighteousness. We have done wrong things, and no amount of sacrifice will do. And we feel the weight of that when we think about it. If you and I sit and pause for a moment and think about things we've done wrong in the past, we feel the weight of that. And if we stew on the reality, we realize we know we're not good enough, we know we're not right with God, and it weighs on our hearts. And that's because we feel the weight of being under God's wrath. We feel the weight of being under God's wrath. If we turn to Romans 1, verse 18, it says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and righteousness and unrighteousness of men who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth." God's wrath is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and all unrighteousness. We are under his wrath because of our sins, and we feel it. We feel that without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness. We feel that what we do isn't enough, that if we could sacrifice a goat today, it wouldn't do it. But today is the day we remember blood that was spilt that does forgive sins. Today is the day that we remember Jesus Christ's sacrifice on our behalf and the blood that was spilt for us. And that is why we call today Good Friday. If we turn to Romans chapter 3 and read verses 21 through 25, we read here, "But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith." God put Jesus Christ forward as our propitiation. Jesus was and is today our propitiation. Now that word is one that I don't think you've ever said to the Quick Trip clerk. And that word is not one that we typically use, but it is of important theological significance. And understanding what that word means helps us rest secure in our salvation. And we see it pop up all over the New Testament, so I think it's crucial for us to define it. So I have a definition here from Noah Webster's 1828. "Propitiation is the act of appeasing wrath and conciliating the favor of an offended person. Propitiation means to appease the wrath of an offended person. In Romans 3, we read that Jesus was and he is our propitiation. What that means is Jesus Christ's sacrifice on the cross by the shedding of his blood appeased God's wrath. God's wrath on me for my sin, God's wrath on you for your sin was appeased in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. We are made right with God through what he accomplished on the cross 2,000 years ago by living, dying, and being risen from the grave. But Jesus' death on that cross didn't move all of mankind into that book of life. When we read that passage in Revelation, it made it very clear to us that some were not written in that book because something is required of us. But that something isn't an action. It isn't something we do. It isn't a sacrifice that you and I make. We cannot do anything to make ourselves right with God. We look at verse 22 in the passage we just read. It says, "The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe." We become righteous before God through faith in Jesus Christ. Our belief in him, him being the Son of God, the Lamb of God, the spotless Lamb who has slain the Messiah, being sacrificed willingly on our behalf. acknowledging that he is Lord, trusting in him is what puts our name in that book of life. It removes God's wrath from us, and it grants us forgiveness of sins. And that is what we're celebrating on Good Friday. That is what's so glorious about today, because the good Lamb of God died for us on the cross, and it is good because he fixed the problem that we face. It is good because it washes us clean. It is good because he solved a problem we couldn't fix, because the blood he shed could forgive sins. It was good because he purified our consciences from dead works so that we could serve him. It was good. And it is good because we can enter now the very throne room of God, both in our prayers and when we enter heaven. So if you have believed in Jesus Christ for your salvation today, not trusting in your own works or what you can do or right sacrifices, then you're saved. You are redeemed. You are washed clean. And God has prepared for you work to do in this life to bring more and more people into his fold, to bring more and more people into his flock, to teach more and more people about what he has accomplished for you and for me. But if you haven't trusted in the Lord Jesus today, then your name is not in that book of life. And unfortunately, the lake of fire awaits you because your sin still separates you. So today I would say the cure is before you. Believe in the word. Repent and be saved, because Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, came thousands of years ago for you to wash you clean. So today we're celebrating that our names as Christians are written in the book of life. Today we are celebrating that through Jesus' blood, by the shedding of his blood, there is forgiveness of sins, and rightness with God is available to you and I. Eternity in a new heaven and a new earth. And so we have gathered today to remember that sacrifice. And there is absolutely no better way for us to remember what Christ did on the cross so long ago by taking communion together. So I would like to invite the band up to come and play while we get communion. But before we take the bread and the cup together, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you are welcome to partake. But we're going to read a passage in 1 Corinthians 11, 23 through 26. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same way, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." So this afternoon, we're going to proclaim the Lord's death. We will rejoice in his sacrifice. We will thank Jesus Christ, because the wrath of God doesn't remain on us anymore. And we will praise him because by his shedding of his blood, there is forgiveness of sins. So if you're a believer, I would encourage you, come up, take the bread and the cup, head back to your seats, and we will take communion together as a congregation.